Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Music in the Church with Pastor David Jackson.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK, and welcome to Music in the Church. My name is David Jackson, and I am pastor of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Bournemouth, Hertfordshire, England, and I will be your host for this program. Today we are going to explore the famous Lutheran hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, a hymn written by the reformer Dr. Martin Luther. To discuss this important hymn today, we have with us, for the program, Dr. Tom Winger, Acting President of Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary, St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. Due to the wonders of modern technology, we are speaking with Dr. Winger via Skype today. Hello, Dr. Winger. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you, Pastor Jackson. Nice to be with you.
And as well as being Acting President of Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary, of course, you do have connections here to the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. Maybe you could fill us in on those as well.
Yeah, that's right. I was actually baptized at the first service of the Lutheran Church in Coventry, the Good Shepherd Mission, and my father served as the pastor, the founding pastor of that congregation. I lived in Liverpool as well before moving to Canada, and in later years served 7 years as a tutor at Westfield House in Cambridge.
Today, though, we have you here to talk about the hymn, A Mighty Fortress. What can you tell us about the historical context of that hymn?
Well, I thought it might be helpful just to talk about Protestant hymns in general, because many people may not really realize that prior to the time of the Reformation, there really wasn't a lot of congregational hymn singing going on in church. I suppose most people have a picture of this, that the liturgy is pretty much being sung by the choir, and any sort of hymn singing by the people happens outside church. Luther seized on a couple of places in the liturgy where the choir had been singing pieces, particularly in response to the readings, so between the reading of the epistle and the reading of the gospel. And it really occurred to him that that was a great place to bring the message of Jesus Christ to the people in their own language. And very early in the Reformation, he wrote a whole series of hymns, and of course the language of the people for him was German, so that the people could sing to themselves in the language of their heart the basic message of the Reformation, that they're saved not by obeying the law, by their good works, but that they're saved through Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for them and their faith in him. Luther wrote 37 hymns, which is quite a lot, maybe not as much as someone like Charles Wesley later, but it's quite a body of hymnody, and almost all of Luther's hymns are still sung today. I have a list in front of me, and I won't stop and count, but at least half of the 37 were written in the years 1523 and 1524. So it's quite stunning that Luther comes up with close to 20 hymns in the space of just 2 years. But it's this early, just frenetic period of hymn writing, and he's got musicians around him helping him to write the tunes or set tunes to them all.
How important did Luther believe music was to the life of the church?
Well, there's a famous line from Luther, of course, where he says that next to theology, music is the most important thing. And I think that Luther, of course, was a pretty well-trained musician. He could play the lute, he could compose. He had a very fine voice, they say. And so obviously he's got a bit of a personal stake in it. But, you know, it's an age, I often say to people, they didn't have television, they didn't have the internet. Music was the major source of entertainment in people's lives outside of church. And I think he realized that in church, it was a really effective way to reach people's hearts with the gospel.
And as well as being a tool of theology, obviously, because of Luther's influence on hymn writing, how much has it affected our modern day hymns?
Well, it's interesting, particularly for a British audience, with the Church of England having a very solid Calvinist background in the 16th century, at least, to realize that nobody else is really writing hymns in the 16th century aside from the Lutherans. Now, people will object and say, well, there's lots of other hymns, but all the other hymns being written are simple paraphrases of the Psalms. And so in the Church of England at the time, and in other Calvinist churches, for more than a century after Luther, they're really only paraphrasing the Book of Psalms. And so the Lutherans get a bit of a head start. And from the time of Luther, for another 100 years, there is an explosion of Lutheran hymns. And those really have formed the core, the bedrock, of hymnody for all Protestant churches, for Anglicans, Presbyterians, and so on, and throughout the world. And the hymn we're to talk about today, A Mighty Fortress, is the most popular of all. It's said that there's at least 100 English translations. And I might even say now that it's not usually known as A Mighty Fortress in Britain, because the most common translation in use is A Safe Stronghold, Our God Is Still. Who use Lutheran hymnals are familiar with it as A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
The psalm that it was based on was Psalm 46. Could you give us a bit of the background as to why Luther chose to write a hymn based on Psalm 46?
Well, you know, I suppose in a sentence or two, you could say, what in general does Luther want to do with hymns? And Luther's hymns fall perhaps into about three categories. One is he writes a hymn for each part of his small catechism. So he has a hymn about the Ten Commandments, a hymn about baptism, a hymn about the Lord's Supper, and so on. He also writes hymns for parts of the liturgy. So he has a hymn based on the Gloria in Excelsis, the Sanctus, and so on. And then a great deal of his hymns, actually 7 out of the 37, are settings of the Psalms. And I think that was only natural for him, because that's what the choirs were doing in the liturgy at the time, was singing the Psalms. And if the people are going to take over what the choirs are doing, to some extent, then psalm singing is going to be part of it. But if you actually look at Psalm 46, and maybe the listeners to this program will at some point get their Bible out and compare what they know of the hymn, Luther actually doesn't use very much of the psalm. It's really quite different from the way Calvinist hymn paraphrases work, line by line, verse by verse. Luther just picks up on the theme and the opening line, God is our refuge and our strength, the very present help in trouble. And then he launches off into his present day life. We don't know for sure when Luther actually wrote this, surprisingly, for his most famous hymn. But it was probably written around the time of the greatest struggle between the Roman Catholic traditionalists and the Lutherans, on the eve of the Diet of Speyer, where they were first called Protestants, and the Augsburg Confession in 1530. And so Luther, I think, is thinking of this great battle for the gospel.
I've often heard it also referred to sometimes as the battle hymn of the Reformation. Is that correct?
That's right. And I think this very much fits with that time period. I think Heinrich Heine, a 19th century German poet, called it the Marseillaise of the Reformation, you know. And in the 17th century, when Lutherans and Roman Catholics were fighting in the 30 Years' War, very often the Lutheran armies would sing A Mighty Fortress on the battlefield. You know, it really has this character. And Lutherans who typically sit down for their hymns, because Lutheran hymns are much more sort of teaching hymns than many other traditions, almost always jump to their feet for A Mighty Fortress, you know, like the Hallelujah chorus in Messiah. It has really taken on a very military character of, this is our anthem, we're going to fight for the gospel under these words. And that kind of arises out of the opening line, God is our fortress, we are in a battle, we take refuge in him, and he will win the battle for us, we don't need to fear.
On that note then, let's take a break now for a commercial. When we come back, we'll listen to the music. Also learn that there's two different arrangements of the music, and we'll take a look at that when we come back.
Since 1962, Westfield House in Cambridge has been preparing students with the knowledge, attitudes and skills necessary for the ministry of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and its proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a centre of theological studies, it also seeks to serve the Lutheran Church, both in this country and overseas, by the promotion of Christian learning at all levels. Westfield House provides theological education within the framework of a confessional Lutheran perspective and offers resources that further the understanding of that perspective. Westfield House also offers the only significant Lutheran library in the country. Find out more about Westfield House on the internet at www.westfieldhouse.org.uk. Westfield House, the Theological College of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
The value of Sunday school by those who attend Sunday school. Here's Gabriella, aged 11.
I absolutely love Sunday school. It's both educational and fun. And you get to learn all that our Saviour Jesus did and does for us. In my congregation, the younger children listen to stories from the Bible and make arts and crafts based on the lessons. The older children read from the Bible and write down the key events. Then they talk about them with the teacher's guidance.
But don't take Gabriella's word for it. Bring your children to Sunday school and let them find out for themselves. Our Sunday schools are all about Jesus and to all God's children. Find out where your nearest Lutheran congregation is on lutheran.co.uk.
Lutheran Radio UK, all about Christ and to all God's children.
Welcome back. You're listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I'm Pastor David Jackson, and this is Music in the Church. Today we're talking with Dr. Tom Winger, Acting President of Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary, St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. And we're talking about A Mighty Fortress, a hymn by Dr. Martin Luther. Dr. Winger, I understand that there may be some connections between Ephesians and the hymn A Mighty Fortress. I understand you're working on a commentary on Ephesians that's near completion. Are there any connections that you can or have been able to draw between the two?
Yes, that's a good question. As you know, Ephesians has been a project of mine for the last 10 years or so. And as I was working on the last chapter, the famous armor of God pericope, where Paul says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It really got me thinking about this hymn of Luther's. In that section, Paul suggests that we can kind of put on Christ himself like a suit of armor, which is very similar to how the Old Testament says you can kind of take refuge in God and all this battle's going on all around you, but you will be protected because God is your refuge and your shield. And it gets me thinking, too, about how famous Luther is for having such a vivid view of the devil and demons in his life. Tourists go to the Wartburg Castle in Eisenach in Germany. They show you a spot on the wall where Luther supposedly threw ink at the devil. I'm not so sure that that's a true story. Luther said he threw ink at the devil, but I think what he meant was that his writings attacked the devil, and so he threw ink at the devil through his writings. And this hymn is very much a part of that. If anything, the hymn is more about the way the devil and his demons are constantly attacking us, and the Lord is defending us. The great champion, Jesus Christ, strides forth onto the battlefield and does battle against the devil for us. That's a theme that's sometimes called Christus Victor. So we have a Messiah who doesn't just suffer for us, but a Christ who is our victor, a warrior who wins the battle for us. We today don't have that vivid idea that the devil is always against us, because the devil works in very subtle ways.
I recall reading in Luther's work something about the kind of effect music has on the devil. Would you be able to elaborate on that for us a little bit?
Yeah, and Luther even personally experienced a lot of depression at various points when things were going very badly in his life. And of course, he attributed those feelings to the devil, who's trying to tell him, stop preaching the gospel, it's not going to work. And Luther always felt the best way to drive the devil away was to sing. And not just sing anything, but to sing the word of God, because music is always in service of the word. And he tells in his table talk how in his darkest days he would ask his fellow reformer, Philip Melanchthon, to sit down with him and sing our Psalm 46. And the devil hates that sound. The devil flees when we sing the word of God, just as Jesus teaches us when he battles against the devil in his temptations.
For those listeners out there, if you want to drive the devil away, sing Psalm 46. Probably this would be a good time for us to maybe listen to a recording of A Mighty Fortress. Now, I understand there's two different arrangements of A Mighty Fortress. Perhaps you could tell us a bit about that before we play the first recording.
The way that most Protestants today, if I just say in general, and I think this is true on the continent, it's true in Britain, it's true in North America, most people know the hymn in an evened out way, which is not actually the way Luther wrote it. Almost all British hymnals have the even rhythmed form. This form of the hymn became popular in the Baroque period, and the clip that we're about to play is from Cantata, the Cantata for Reformation Day by Johann Sebastian Bach, who of course was a Lutheran. And this is the way most people are familiar with singing the song. And maybe after we've heard this, then I'll talk a little bit about how it differs from what Luther actually wrote in the first place.
Here we are with the J.S. Bach version of A Mighty Fortress.
Thank you.
Okay, that was the J.S. Bach arrangement of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And next, we have a different arrangement to play. What's the next arrangement we're going to play of A Mighty Fortress, Dr. Winger?
Well, I mentioned earlier that Luther himself was a very good musician and wrote the tunes to almost all of his hymns. Luther was also a close friend with Hans Zach, the famous Meistersinger von Nuremberg from Wagner's opera. Luther learned how to write songs very, very well. And at that time, music was mainly rhythmic and melodic. And so the way Luther originally wrote the song, it has a little bit of the feel of a Renaissance dance. And I think you'll feel that when you hear this arrangement sung by a men's choir from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. And you'll also notice that it's unison and it's unaccompanied. And this is as close as I can get from my record collection to the way the hymn would have actually been sung in Luther's day. Just listen to the rhythm of it.
Okay, here we are with the rhythmic version of A Mighty Fortress. Was the rhythmic version of A Mighty Fortress by Dr. Martin Luther, sung by the St. Louis Seminary Choir. Much different than the J.S. Bach version indeed. Very, very interesting.
That's right, and I don't want to cast aspersions on Bach. You know, he's my favorite composer. But there's a real difference between the two. What Bach is really doing is rearranging the hymns so that a very high-quality choir can sing them. And so he evens out the meter so that he's got lots of time for this beautiful harmony in the middle. but doesn't necessarily make a good hymn for people to sing in unison. And what I like about Luther's original is the life and the vitality to it. And I think that it reflects better the words. Luther's talking about a battle. He's talking about some very, very deep truths of the faith, but it's that battle feel that's there in his rhythmic original that gets lost in Bach when it gets smoothed out. So I like to try and encourage people to give a try to Luther's original way. And indeed, over the last 50 to 100 years, Lutherans have, in general, gone back to the way these hymns were written in the 16th century to try and recover that kind of lively form of singing.
If people want to find more music by Luther and research his music and theology further, where are some simple sources or easy ways they can explore further?
One marvelous thing today with the internet is the way, and with iTunes, for example, you can find so many recordings. I like to collect recordings of Luther's hymns done by different groups, sometimes in original arrangements, and then you can just hear. There's some very well-done recordings with Robin Lever directing where he tries to reproduce what Lutheran music actually sounded like in the 16th century. All of Luther's hymns, of course, are collected in Luther's works in volume 53. And there are writings by Carl Schalk and a number of other Lutheran musicians that would help you to learn a little bit more about Luther. But I think the main thing I would say is listen to it, not just in the Bach forms, but among some of these musical groups that are trying to reproduce the original form of singing them.
Thank you for your time today, Dr. Winger, and we look forward to having you back on the program again sometime in the near future, hopefully. Thank you for listening today, and we ask you to tune in again and keep listening to the next show that'll be up. God bless. Bye-bye.